In this episode, I'm going to explain why 71% of marketers are increasing their video budgets right now.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by Wirebuzz.
Hi, and thank you for joining us. In a moment, I'm going to unpack one of the biggest developments the marketing world has really ever seen. And I'm going to explain to you why this big development correlates to 71% of marketers increasing their video budgets. But first, let's get caught up on some of the latest video marketing news that you absolutely need to know about. Now, you may recall viral video marketing poster child, the Dollar Shave Club, which made a satirical video about its products. Well, the Dollar Shave Club this week agreed to a $1 billion sale. Now, this news was announced on Tuesday, and to provide some context around this groundbreaking achievement from the Dollar Shave Club, this is the biggest acquisition ever of a venture-backed startup in the city of Los Angeles. Madison.com is reporting Twitter made yet another live video deal this week when it signed Pac-12 Networks to its growing list of partnerships. Now, being a West Coast guy myself, the Pac-12 Network is not only, as it is known, the Conference of Champions, but the Pac-12 Network is also my conference of choice. And Twitter is now the premier streaming partner for the Pac-12. Now, don't get too excited. Sure, there's going to be 150 games across 12 universities in the 2016 and 2017 season, but there are two trends that I'm going to tell you about, and you'll also know why maybe you shouldn't get too excited about it, but it is a growing trend that people should be aware of. You know, when I was a kid, I was an avid sports fan. Of course, I could afford to be an avid sports fan because my dad was paying for my livelihood, but everything changed when I moved out of his house and I had to put sports aside and start thinking about how I was going to generate revenue. And I vividly remember the day that ESPN launched. It was life-changing. That was the day that everything friggin' changed. Now, for most people that may not be obsessed with media and content and broadcasting, this wouldn't have been that significant of a moment for them. But for me, the launch of ESPN was a watershed moment where programming changed forever and broadcasting was revolutionized because it used to be broadcasting to the largest number of people possible to where we are today, which was narrowcasting to a very specific target audience. That narrowcasting started the day ESPN was born. Before ESPN, while being raised in LA, I had to stay up late night to watch the local TV news in the hopes of getting a score of the University of Arizona game where both my parents attended. And maybe 30% of the time in LA, they would even report on an Arizona game. And the reason was LA News was broadcasting to the interest of the largest number of people possible. Now, the rest of the time, I wouldn't know the score of the game until the next morning when I would read the newspaper, which was also in the print form of broadcasting, right, to the largest number of people. And for those of you who were born after MC Hammer's parachute pants and haven't ever seen a newspaper in person, newspapers were this like serial daily print publication that combined news and opinion articles, horoscopes, something that I've never seen since called Sudoku cartoons, but mostly newspapers were just advertising. And if you're walking like in a residential area, pay special attention to the ground and the area around you because in a very rare occasion, you just might be lucky enough to catch one of these endangered species, these, you know, pieces of media nostalgia stacking up on some retired person's driveway. That is a newspaper, all right? And after the launch of ESPN, broadcasting changed forever. And if you want to strip it down, the significance of the change that took place, the best websites on the internet, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, all follow the same hyper-niche focus for catering to a very specific narrowcast audience, and that was given to us by the birth of ESPN. Now, bringing this conversation back to Twitter, making a live video stream deal with the Pac-12 networks, much like the launch of ESPN, ESPN, when it started with really crappy programming like bowling and horse competitions and rodeos. And the Pac-12's deal with Twitter is mostly going to feature the conference's worst sporting events possible. So don't expect to find anything very compelling. You're not going to get to see, you know, football battles or great basketball games. This service is going to exclusively feature content for the really hardcore sport fans that love to watch cross country and really big battle royales from time to time as they happen in real time. But it's another indicator of a big trend that's happening in a market where traditional mainstream news needs new media now in order to legitimize itself. And it used to be the opposite way, but there's a convection cycle. You know, the times, they are a-changing. And that's exactly what's taking place. Wirebuzz produced a Facebook Live event this last week in Los Angeles. Gosh, a lot of Los Angeles stuff in the opening of this podcast. It just random chance, but Wirebuzz was out there in the greater Los Angeles area. We filmed a Facebook Live event for a, let's see how I can work my way around this without tipping my hat on who it was. Anyway, we did a live event for them. That event generated in the first 48 hours or something, some 18,000 views, 200 shares, a ton of comments. And the real actionable tip, the reason I'm bringing this up is because Facebook Live is an opportunity that all of you can be benefiting from right now. Here's your actionable tip. At the end of the Facebook Live event, and Christopher, I'm going to ask you if you can remember what the words were from the last Facebook Live event. But when we were done, you said, you want me to hit the save this video to the camera, to the phone, right? So when you hit that button, you want to always save it to your device. And when you save it to your device, at the end of the event, download that, edit up into individual questions, and then release those individual questions or topics or chapters into shorter, more consumable pieces of video that you and your company can push out to be a thought leader in your space. And it's a great way to do that. So just to explain it one more time, after the event, download it, chop it up, because people aren't going to watch the full long video. I normally recommend short, concise videos. Facebook Live's a little different. So when you go to repurpose it with purpose. All right? Good. Now, the reason I look at marketing through the lens of a small business owner is, candidly, I only have so much money that I can generate in my marketing to create results. So everything I recommend revolves around generating a significant return on investments. And these are the tactics that you'll hear in this podcast that I'm laying out in this episode and in past episodes of Video Marketing Mastery that I've used to double my company's revenue each and every year. And it's my hopes that you can grow your business by following what's worked for me and what's working around the industry. And on a very personal note, if any of you have questions or concerns about how you're doing your video marketing, feel free to reach out to me. I'm a total nerd for this. I just would really be honored to help you. So let's talk about the reason that 71% of marketers are increasing their video budgets. And the reason is video works tremendously, especially if you choose smart, evergreen. And when I say evergreen video topics, what I'm really saying are non-perishable video topics that you can use on your website and you can have your sales team leverage for years to come. This is less of an issue for brands with larger audiences because they can generate immediate ROI. But if your business has a smaller target customer audience, you need to be more strategic about your topic selection. So let's unpack this together, all right? Now, maybe you're like me, but everything I do at work is about optimizing the way that my prospects comprehend what I do and how it can be of benefit to them. So the faster that I can get them to comprehend, the quicker I can get them to be convinced and then converted, all right? And by using video strategically in my sales process, I took our standard 8-week sales cycle that we had for maybe our first 3 years of our company, and I sped up the entire process by using video. Now I'm closing my deals in 3 weeks instead of 8 weeks. And that changed really the overall trajectory of our business because now instead of taking a full 8 weeks, now I'm closing three deals in the same amount of time that it used to take me to close one deal, which took the entire company and changed things overnight. Money comes in so much quicker because people comprehend faster. Now, if you want to convince and convert more prospects than you did last year, you should be considering how persuasive video is. Now, consider this. Email is 300% more effective when you use video in it. A lot of our campaigns generate significant ROI because we make sure that we put video in the subject header of that email. And when you add the word video in the subject header, you get 2 times the open rate. And when you add video into the email, when I say adding video into the email, for those very sophisticated marketers out there, I'm really just saying an image, a compelling image that's going to happen in the video with a big green or red play button in the center that screams, take a break from work and click on me. And when people see the video in the email, you get 3 times the click-through rate of traditional email. So you want to add video because you always want to optimize your process. And the first campaign that Wirebuzz ever did with adding video to email, we generated to date now $350,000 from 2 new clients that we got off of a list that we had generated of 50 cold prospects. That's the power of video. But if you're still not convinced and you're still trying to figure out why 71% of marketers are increasing their video budget, you should know that when you add video to your website, you get more links to the web page than text would, and you also double your time on page. Now, links and time on page are primary ranking factors to Google because Google looks at the links. And by the way, for those who don't know this, Google thinks like high school, all right? So when Google looks at links, Google thinks like, geez, who are the coolest kids on campus and who are they doing things with? That's the value of links. So video gets you significantly more links to your website than text. You want to help Google recognize that you're one of the cooler kids on campus on this topic, all right? And then time on page being a primary ranking factor is so important because Google is just, it's a brilliant computer, but it's really just a machine, right? It's got an algorithm. And the algorithm, when Google is doing its formulations, it's looking and it's saying, how long are people on this page or this piece of content? And then it evaluates as an indicator of quality. If people are on your page 2 times longer than somebody else's, Google moves yours up because to Google, that page has to be of higher quality. You get it? So when you add video to a page, you get 2 times the time on page, double the time on page than you would with text. Now for social media, give you an example. Native video, which is video uploaded into, so let's say native video uploaded into Facebook, for example, receives 268% more shares than articles, all right? And 3 times more shares. Traffic generation, websites that regularly post video, and when I say regularly is important because you want to show the search engines that you're making a regular commitment to it. So websites that regularly post new videos to their website get 2 times the traffic than sites that don't. And there's a reason. Google sends spider bots out to your website. Those spider bots go and they read up and down the page, and the longer the spider bots stay there, and the better off you are. And so the regular part is keeping those spider bots on your website so they're reporting back. And the spider bots are kind of like the cat in the neighborhood that you were told by your parents, and your parents are absolutely wrong, to not feed that cat because the cat's going to come back. And you don't want to have that stray cat standing around outside your door begging for food. Well, you want to regularly feed your website with new, fresh content so Google continues to come back. Now, basically, video is just like any other type of content, but video has superpowers that helps businesses generate ROI. Consider this for a moment. Video provides faster comprehension. You see, people process information in a video significantly faster than they do reading text. And I want to make sure, there's only a small window of opportunity that I have when I'm meeting with people for them to understand what I do. And you're the same way. Your business is no different. Sure, I'm in video and I'm in marketing and you could be in a medical device or some kind of a widget or a startup, but you only have a few moments for somebody to go, oh, okay, that's what you do, and to find value. So when people look at video, they process information in video significantly faster than they do with text. Use it to your advantage. video also creates really powerful memory recall because there's the visual and there's the auditory, there's the emotional impact. Text will only have one of those, maybe, right? And because people who watch a business video have faster comprehension about a product or a service, they create greater memory recall and 3 times more shares with their colleagues inside of their office. People are 144% more likely to buy after watching a video than people that don't. Now, that's exactly why everyone on my sales team here at Wirebuzz has the ability to send videos to their prospects, literally, directly from their email, because video convinces and converts at significantly higher levels. And that's why 71% of marketers are increasing their video budgets. It is a beast. And it kind of pains me when I hear marketing experts providing recommendations and not mentioning video. And the reason is, in most cases, the people who aren't recommending video, and it's not because video isn't doing it or video isn't crushing it, but the reason is that marketing expert may not be versed in video, or they might be intimidated or uncomfortable because maybe their career branched out of blogging or PR or traditional marketing, and maybe they just haven't been optimizing their process. And for me, you know, if video wasn't the most effective tool, I assure you, I've got no emotional connection to video. I would bounce and find the tool that provided the best results. And I recommend every single marketer and every single business owner, don't be devoted to the content type, be devoted to the results. You follow? Good. Now, you and I already know that your customers would rather watch videos than read your web text copy on your website. So which videos should you produce first? That's really where you should be thinking. And how do you actually use video once it's already been created? Now, these are really big questions that demand very strategic answers. And to help you get started with your video marketing plan, Wirebuzz created a 7-question worksheet that'll guide you to select the most profitable video topics for your specific business. And to get access to it, to download our free worksheet that helps you choose those profitable video topics for your business, all you have to do is go to wirebuzz.com/topics. That's wirebuzz.com/topics. To get access to the show notes for this episode, episode 33, just go to wirebuzz.com/33. An easy way to remember 33, this episode number, an easy way to remember it is, well, that's the jersey numbers worn by Boston Celtics Hall of Famer Larry Bird, Chicago Bull Hall of Famer Scottie Pippen. Yeah, I think his nickname was the Worm, not the best nickname you could ever be given. And number 33 was also worn by the big captain, Los Angeles Laker Hall of Famer Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. For more information, go to wirebuzz.com/33. And I also have an article up there on this page that would be helpful to you. It's from Real SEO, and it's about why 71% of marketers are increasing their video budgets right now. Now, if you like this podcast, make sure to subscribe. And don't miss an upcoming episode. Please, please do so by rating us on iTunes and subscribing on iTunes. And don't forget to leave us a really honest rating and review. As a marketer, that review is really helpful for me because it helps me polish and perfect the way that I create the podcast. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, I want to be as helpful to you as possible because I want to make sure that your business makes money. How you operate a business always evolves, right? What I did 3 years ago is different than what I'm doing today and how I sell. And you should be speeding up your process. The tricks you've used are probably outdated, and there are opportunities always for optimization, and significant ROI happens when your business starts using video. I'm particularly interested in how your business evolves, how it optimizes its process. And so that passion lives inside of my company. We're all obsessed with how we do things, and we're not afraid to tinker if it's gonna improve our ROI. So behind the scenes in the coming weeks, Wirebuzz will continue to do what we always do with this Video Marketing Mastery podcast. We're gonna look for the latest information, different tricks, tactics, and big trends that you could be using So when you invest in a company or you go into the conference room and you start to lay out a strategy, you can be a video marketing master.